All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before your throne today in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, thanking you for every perfect and wonderful gift that you've given us. Father, you have complete right, complete permission to interrupt, disrupt, make disorganize the services that we have here at Ignited. You're welcome here. You are the CEO. You are the owner. You are the God of this house. And so, Father, we make no apologies for being wrecked right now, but we love you and we bless you. And I ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to come now and saturate me and saturate this place, put a cloak upon me, a mantle of the prophetic, that I would speak these words with power and that it would be a paga. It would hit right to the mark and right to the spot of the heart of humanity. Give me, Father God, opportunity to declare this word to the nations of the world. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Lead us, I pray, into all truth. And in Jesus' name, everybody say amen. I really want to give you the title of this message, so it'll go in sequence, but I want to give the word first and then tell you how this came to me this morning. First of all, here's the word of the Lord. America, your time of testing is here. Your days of reckoning have arrived. You're faced with two choices: repent and live, or reject and die. My truth has been proclaimed, but you refuse to embrace it. My promises have been made, but you deny they exist. This is your hour of testing. Will you serve me or bail? This is your day of salvation. Will you accept it or refuse to hear my prophets? I have weighed you in the balances, and you are lacking. You kill my prophets with slander, but they are your only voice of hope. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Choose this day. Receive my grace, for my judgment is here. Yet my arms are still open. My house is not yet full. There is room for those who seek my shelter. Very powerful word, one that I think you should read again and pray over and meditate and let the Father speak to your heart. But this message that I'm going to preach today is going to be pretty raw. It's going to be pretty heavy and pretty hard. But I believe we're in that hour where we must have honesty in the pulpit. We've always been in that hour, but more so than ever, we must tell it like it is. I've told you this before. If you ever go to a doctor, you don't want him to hem-haul around. Doc, what's up? Tell me like it is. Don't give me all your Greek and all your French and all your Hebrew and Latin. Just tell me I got a cold. And as I was pondering this time with the Lord, meditating on what he wanted me to say, I heard these words that really were the beginning of this particular message. I heard testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. We all remember that. You know, they used to do that over the microphone systems. You would hear that when somebody is getting ready to record. Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3. And the Lord speaks to me in different ways. As you know, he's sovereign. He can do what he wants to do. And so I pondered this, and I was like, testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Okay, I got the testing, testing part. I understand where this comes from. But what's the 1, 2, 3? What's the whole thing that you're wanting to say? And he began to speak to me about this. And I want you to write this down, and then I'm going to preach from this. But I need to make this plain so I'm not misunderstood. By the way, if you have not read or listened to the September of Sorrows, you need to read it, watch it, get it somehow in your spirit. If you don't have computer system and you want me to put it on the back wall, please tell me. But this house must be abreast to what the Lord said. I also spoke just a little bit about it on my interview with Christina Liaz. But test number one, as he shared this with me, was Hurricane Harvey. Test number one was Hurricane Harvey. And as I ponder this test, the understanding is this, is that God is allowing a test to see if the nation will repent. And next to the name Hurricane Harvey, test number one, I put failed. So in your notes, you need to put failed in a check by test number one. Because of as of right now, me standing before you in the last few minutes that I had to check news before I came into this sanctuary, I didn't see America falling on its face, repenting for the carnage and the craziness and the destitution that's taking place all throughout Houston and will continue to take place for months and maybe even years to come. So test number one was Hurricane Harvey. Test number two, he said Hurricane Irma. Hurricane Irma. Now, I'm adding this part as my notes because I do not know if this hurricane is going to come to this nation or not, or it's going to cause damage. I do not know that. And I was not told that. I was told Hurricane Irma. But what I do understand is this. Do we have a nation that is standing before God, repenting for what is taking place in our country and crying out for mercy after seeing what's happened in Houston? Do we have people that are mourning in sackcloth and ashes? Do we have an administration not calling for a day of prayer, but a day of fasting and a day of repentance? Do we have a nation that is mourning, that's calling out to God to have mercy in the midst of judgment? Only you can answer that. And I believe the answer is in the negative. But the test has not yet been administrated yet. It's still out there. So I'm giving these signs and these testings to you as a warning to let you know what's about to take place. The third test, test number three, and I'm going to read it exactly the way it was told to me so that I am not misunderstood whatsoever. Test number three, he said, a dip in the economy, a dip in the economy. And then he said, a prop will fall, a dip in the economy and a prop will fall. In other words, this is not speaking of the major crash that we've been looking for. It speaks of something that will be noticeable, that the average person will say something just went wrong. Now, I do not know if it's a war with North Korea. I do not know if it is another hurricane. I do not know if it's an earthquake. I do not know if it is some type of natural disaster. I do not know what will cause this prop to fall. But there's enough evidence to show everybody out there that one of the legs on the table that holds our economy is very loose. In fact, there's multiple legs. But there's one in specific that's going to cause us to have a dip in our economy, and it's going to be noticeable. Again, I do not know if it is the stock market. I do not know if it's the housing bubble. I do not know if it's because of the flood insurance and the craziness that's gone down in Houston, or if it's some type of auto type of bubble. But regardless of it, he said that was going to be the test. And why? What is this test? And this is where I began to ask him. I said, I don't understand. What is this testing about? Here's what he said to me. He says, I want to shake the vine for what is mine. I want to shake the vine for what is mine. In other words, my interpretation is he's going to allow these shakings to take place for the lukewarm, backslidden people that are on the fence, riding Christianity, wandering and just playing around, playing the whore and playing the child. He said, I want to shake it so that those that are mine would come off that vine, that I could have them and they would have me. You see, when judgment fully comes to this nation, there will be no doubt about it. But there are many that are still wondering in the house, oh, well, you know, I don't know, man. You know, things are going on like they used to be. We always had problems and wars, rumors of wars, and there's always been economic issues. And don't you know, it's just realistic. If you have a problem and a natural disaster, it's just going to affect the economy some way. That's negative. But the point that I want the church to know and those listening today, it is when they start to be dominoes in accelerated motion, you cannot deny that it's not judgment. And then finally, in this discourse that I had with the Father, I said, what if we don't pass this test? What if we don't pass these two remaining tests that are before us as a nation or before us as a people? This is what he said to me. He said, the house of cards will fall. The house of cards will fall. Take that to prayer. And you will hear over the coming days confirmation. In fact, there's already confirmation out there. The prophetic community is zeroing in and is becoming stronger in confirmations as I watch this thing unfold, because God wants a sure word, a specific word out there. This does not negate the other things that are taking place and the other prophesied calamities and crisis. This all goes together, because as dominoes, they begin to fall one upon another. God has the ability to cause that domino to go in a slow motion, or he can cause it to be rapid. And that's why we pray for mercy in the midst of judgment. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Go to Mark chapter 6. Hey, New Testament. Maybe I am saved after all. As my critics wonder. Mark, New Testament. Just freaked out my Jeremiah club. Hope they don't leave me now. Again, I didn't choose this message. I didn't choose this scriptures. But testing, 1, 2, 3. God is going to get his message out to the nations of the world. There is no doubt about it. Are you there? Verse 1. And he went, talking about Jesus, out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. Point number one, you must understand that a true disciple follows Jesus. A true disciple will follow him no matter where he goes. A true disciple is willing to go to the front lines. A true disciple is ready to go do whatever must be done on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a true disciple. I teach from this pulpit that disciplined followers of Jesus Christ are ones that love him with all their heart. They're the ones that show up early. Come on, somebody. Those are the ones that stay up late. Those are the ones that toe the extra mile. They go the further distance. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. Now, I want you to notice this, that Jesus went into the synagogue. He went into the house of God. If you study most of the ministry of the life of Jesus Christ, he was always outside of the synagogue. There are a few times he went in, but the most of the time he went out to the people. But Jesus was in a different place and a different time and a different situation, much like America. And he went in and he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished. They were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And with what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? In other words, they heard him preach and teach and testify. And because they did not esteem him and recognize who he was and recognize the hour in which they had a visitation, they considered him common among themselves, and they did not accept the divinity and the power of Jesus Christ. That is much like the modern backslidden, lukewarm, milquetoast pagan church of America today, that we don't recognize the power of Jesus Christ. That he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, and he hasn't changed. He still wipes out the blindness out of eyes, and he still removes fevers, and he still raises them from the dead. He is the same. But we preach from pulpits all across America that his power has waned. There's no power in his blood, and they doubt the resurrection and even the virgin birth. And you know that's the truth. From whence has he this? this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is this not the carpenter? Is this not the common guy? Is this not just that American Jesus? Is this not that person that, you know, he's nominal and he has a day job and he works with his hands? Isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? Are they not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. You see, the Church of Jesus Christ here in America, we're offended at who Jesus is. We're offended about the true, authentic, transparent Jesus, the real Jesus, not your America, plastic GQ, fake banana Jesus that we have made here, an idol of God, of money, and all the craziness that we've done in our churches. We've made Jesus a slot machine. Come on, somebody. We think heaven is Las Vegas. If we just roll the dice right and pay our tithe and show up every other Sunday, that God is going to bless us and manifest his goodness to us, and we have refused and we've rejected the authentic Jesus. The same Jesus that raises people from the dead. The same Jesus that preached against sin. The same Jesus that preached the kingdom and told all men to repent. No, we have another Jesus here in America because we have another gospel. We have a gospel of humanism. We have a gospel of materialism. We have a gospel of paganism. We have a gospel that's all about me and what I can get and all the stuff. Can I remind you that all the stuff and the storages and the sheds and everything that you got and all your shoe boxes underneath your bed, you won't carry one item out of this world. You won't carry one stick. You won't carry one piece of clothes. You won't carry one gold coin with you to heaven. Not one. Oh, that's why he said you ought to store up your blessings and your treasures in heaven where man can't take it, where wrath can't ruin it, rust can't take it, ruin it. There's no thief that can get in to the treasure house of God. I wish I had 1,000 tongues to speak this today. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary? Isn't this just the common Jesus? We don't want the common Jesus. We don't want the authentic Jesus. We want the Jesus that blesses us and gives us things. Verse 4. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. I'm telling you, in this nation, we do not have honor for the prophets and for the prophetic. We don't have honor for the word of God. We don't have honor for last day ministry. We don't have honor for the book of Revelation teaching, because we believe this party is going to go on and on and on and on, and that there will be no end to this thing. We're on the Titanic and they're playing the music louder, and all we can find preachers to do is put the chairs back in order as they slide back down. They put it back in order and it slides back down while the smart ones are getting on the lifeboat. Jesus is your lifeboat, and we're sinking like the Titanic. And I'm here warning you on the bow of the Titanic, and I'm warning the church, and I'm warning America, the day of calamity is coming. The day to get into the lifeboat is not yesterday, it's today. It is now time that you find salvation and get your home in order and call the name of Jesus. That's the hour that we're living in. That's the day that is upon us. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country. It's hard to find churches that honor Jesus Christ. Oh, we'll have them in song and have a picture of him that doesn't even look like him on the halls and the walls of our churches and our sanctuaries and our home. Oh, we call that name Jesus, but do we really know that name Jesus? I'm telling you, if you call his name on Sunday and curse it on Monday, you don't know that name. Oh, let me try that again. If you say that you love God, then you follow the word of God. You follow the Lamb wherever he goes. You become a disciple of Jesus Christ and you pick up your cross and you carry it and you die daily and you say, God, I will stand and be a man and a woman of God. I will stand in the midst of adversity and I will declare to a perverse nation that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And that no man comes unto the Father but through you. Sorry, Joel Osteen, there's only one way, and his name is Jesus Christ. I wish I had somebody to give the Lord praise. I'm telling you, we must thunder this message across this people, planted in the far-flung corners of this nation, declaring that Christ and Christ alone is the way to heaven. We must preach with a thundering amen that he is the Lamb that taketh away all the sins of humanity. Jesus declared it, and I'm preaching it today that we don't honor the Lamb. I don't care what you tell me, preacher. I don't care what you say, naysayer. I'm telling you, we don't honor his name, because if we honored his name, we would fall upon our face and we would cry out and say, God, have mercy. We would look towards Houston and say, my God, help us. But we're too arrogant. We're too arrogant. We're too propped up with life. We're doing too good. We're in the middle class. We're getting our cash. We're getting our flash. We're getting everything that we need to survive. And guess what? That was thousands of miles away from me. I'm doing fine. When the reality is that judgment is here in this country and the worst is yet to come. We don't honor Jesus. We don't honor him in our churches when you got to preach for 30 minutes so everybody can get out and get down to the barrel. Cracker Barrel, by the way. Some people maybe go to the Whiskey Barrel. We don't honor Jesus because we don't let the Holy Ghost move in the house of God anymore. Not allowed to have tongues, interpretations of tongues. Not allowed to just change course and change programs. Preacher got to get up and stand. He got to do his 45 minutes or so or he shouldn't get paid. Oh, y'all ain't been in denominations. You don't know churches. You don't know what it's like. Most preachers quit every Monday because they preach and serve a bunch of devils. They preach to and serve a bunch of devils. I'm telling you the truth. I ain't talking to you all. Y'all angels. Y'all go like that. I love this house. And this is why God can move in this place. And we ain't seen anything yet. I'm looking for a day when I can't even stand up behind this pulpit with my microphone because the glory of God is so strong upon me and he's so strong upon you. And you ain't going to care who preaches. You ain't going to care about any of those things. Let the Lord have his way. There's coming a day. There'll come a day when honor comes back to the church, when we honor Jesus Christ for who he is, instead of honoring men with money and honoring people with power and honoring people with pool. It's hard to find a pastor with backbone because he's so maneuvered by somebody else. I got to get off verse 4. I'll sit here and preach this thing all day long. There's no honor. There's no honor for Jesus in our homes. We don't honor him by what we listen to. We don't honor him by what we watch. We don't honor him by the way we talk. We don't honor him by the things that we do in our thought lives and our private lives. We don't honor him in America. The only time we honor him is when we're broke or we're in diseased or sick and we're in trouble. We call upon him like he's a lucky charm. He ain't your lucky charm. He's the Savior of the world, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last, and he that liveth forevermore. Shall I go on? He's the bright and morning star, the resurrection and the life, the only way to God. But our reality today is we've made Jesus our little rabbit's foot. When people come into the house of God just to feel good, to get your conscience soothed, so you can go out and do what you want to do for the rest of the week, and perhaps you'll flop in or pop in or drop in when you're good and ready. Don't have a lot of amens on that one, so I know it's the truth. Verse 5, somebody say, amen. And he could there do no mighty work. Read it again.
And he could there do no mighty work, save he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. One more time. And he could there do no mighty work. What do you mean he couldn't do no mighty work? He was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The reason why he couldn't do any mighty work, because he couldn't find any faith there, and nobody brought anything to him to do a mighty work for. If you study the understanding historically of the scriptures and the Greek, you will find that it wasn't that Jesus was powerless. He just couldn't find no folks that believed him. In context, that is true. I just read it to you. They were astonished at him. They couldn't believe, how could he come up in here and act all this way, and we gonna trust him with miracles? You see, your perception will determine your reception. If you don't perceive him as Lord of all, if you don't perceive him as your everything, he will not be that to you. In fact, he cannot be that to you, because he'll never invade your will. He'll never invade your level of faith. In other words, he'll meet you where you are. So he could not do any mighty work there. He was paralyzed, if you will. He was kept from his opportunity and his ability to do mighty works because the folks around him didn't believe it, and the folks around him didn't want to receive the reality of who he was. Can I tell you something, house of God? Can I tell you something, Ignited Church? That's exactly where we are today. This is why we don't see miracles in America. This is why we're not seeing the fires and the flames of Azusa Street and the fires and the flames of Pentecost. This is the reason why our preachers are not powered with glory and not full of the Holy Spirit, is because we do not believe. We do not honor him. We do not receive him. We do not acknowledge him for who he is. We think that he's just some type of, again, lucky charm and some passive grace that we can do whatever we want as long as we have Jesus. And I'm telling you, your theology is about to go upside down. Your whole grace theology, your whole understanding of grace, and the way you've been lied to about sloppy agape and greasy grace is going to cause you to slip upside down and crack your head wide open when you begin to realize that you do not have a license to act any way you want to. You don't have the right to unzip your flesh and be who you want to be because you called on his name one time. I'm telling you. We're coming to some hard reality, but it's necessary to get the church back in line. He couldn't do any mighty work. The word there for mighty work means this, dunamis. He couldn't do no dynamite power. It's the same word that talks about the day of Pentecost. You shall receive power after what? The Holy Ghost comes upon you. He said, I couldn't do any dynamite work in there. All I could do was just lay hands on a few sick folk. Just got rid of a little bit of fever, a little bit of sniffles over here. But he could not do the mighty works of opening blinded eyes. He could not do the mighty works of raising the dead. He couldn't do the mighty works that he wanted to do there. And he can't do the mighty works he wants to do here, because we boxed God in, we put him on a shelf, and we said, according to our denomination and according to our bishop, this is all you can do, Jesus. And don't you dare get off that shelf. Oh, y'all ain't helping me at all, but it's the reality of America, and he cannot do any great works. We can't see dynamite power because we don't honor him. I'm telling you, Ignited Church, honor your Lord, your God, honor him, honor him. He gave me a word this year for my family, and I will not give you the totality of it, but he told me to honor this year, and I'll honor you. And I'll tell you right now, God is honoring this house. He's honoring my family. He's blessing my family. He's taking care of my family. Is anybody here? That's part one. Are you ready for part two? Couldn't do any mighty works. Could not do the works, the mighty Pentecost works, the mighty healing that he wanted to do. It's the same thing he wants to do in our churches. I'm going to tell you something. It breaks the heart of God when he looks at churches and people come in and he thinks, maybe this is the day they're going to call my name out. Maybe this is the day they're going to be passionate. Oh, look at the building, the stuff that I gave them, the fancy cars that they drove in from the big house that they'd left from. Oh, maybe this is the day they're going to break out and cry out for my glory. Maybe this is the day, but it turns out to be the same thing over and over and over again. And all we do is have a ritual of men and a routine of men, and we never change the planet. We never change people. We never change the community, and we surely don't touch God.
You say, man, he's mad today. Honey, I ain't mad about nothing. Only thing I'm mad about is the condition of the church and where we are is lukewarm, pagan, backslidden, Babylonian churches. Are you still in Mark? Don't be afraid. I'm not leaving Mark. Couldn't find faith. He couldn't find honor. He couldn't find anybody to believe him that he was the resurrection and the life. Couldn't find nobody that believed in miracle working power. I want everybody to know right now, I believe in miracle working power. This house believes in the work of the miracle working power. And I say, Jesus, do not pass us by here in Ignited Church. Don't pass by Livonia, Georgia. Don't pass by Franklin County. Don't pass by Northeast Georgia. Don't pass us by, God. You're welcome in this house. We worship you. We honor you. And we respect that name. Woo! I'm telling you, I could run a marathon with somebody else's body. Is anybody here? Looking at Tony. He can handle it. Verse 6. Watch this now. And he marveled. There's only two other times Jesus, one other time that Jesus marveled. Twice you can find it. Once he marveled at the faith of the Gentile. The second time he marveled at the unbelief of church folk. Now, wait a minute now. Where did Jesus go to teach? In church at the synagogue. You see, I don't expect Wino Willie, who's underneath the overpath with a crack pipe in his hand and a needle in the other arm, I don't expect him to embrace the miracle working power of a God he's never met. But I expect the house of God that knows the name of Jesus, that has a Bible in their hand, which is living proof, that has the testimony of what he's ever done, has the evidence in their heart, I would expect that people in that group to believe in him. But the sad reality is, in America, we don't believe that he is I am. Because our preachers don't preach who he is. We don't show the laying of hands and watching miracles take place. Because we don't believe in that kind of God in America. We believe in the God that can give us stuff. That's all we care about. Watch this. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went around the villages teaching. He marveled. He was astonished. It literally means this. He wondered. And he was held in admiration, or he was amazed. Think about this for a second. Here is Jesus. He comes into his hometown. He comes into the place from which he came. He has his kinfolk there. Yeah, he's a businessman. He's a carpenter. He's a hard worker. But he also has fame that has gone throughout Israel about his miracle-working power. They knew who this man was. And he comes into the place where they were gathered, called a synagogue, which would be the church today. And as he preached and taught, they were amazed and astonished how that he was able to say these things. But yet they did not esteem him and did not recognize and did not honor him for who he was, which was a prophet of all prophets. He was the Lord of all lords. He was the Savior of Israel. Come on, he was the son of David. He was the Messiah promised and prophesied, and they rejected him. And he sat there and he was astonished. Can I prophesy to you today, and whether you like it or not, God looks across this people, planet, and especially this nation, and he looks upon churches and their services, and he's amazed and astonished that he can't find people that will accept his son for who he is. Oh, y'all ain't helping me here today.
He's amazed at the lack of ability of preachers to bring their people and to bring his people to the revelation of the Lamb. And the reason that is they have no relationship of their own. You imagine that with me for a second. That this God of creation, the God of your salvation, looks upon people and looks upon our homes, and he peers down upon our activities, and he looks and he's amazed. See, you don't believe that. The modern church today doesn't believe that. The modern church today does not believe that God is interested in the affairs of man, that God is interested in your privacy. No, because we have a Sunday God. No, we have a Sunday God. We go to the shrine and we pull him out of the box, and the preacher pulls him out, and he's got that little chubby belly and the little red cheeks, and that's our... There ain't no difference between the modern Christianity of America and Buddhism or Hinduism or Catholicism when you're worshiping all kinds of craziness. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. We are no different than the cults of this nation and the cults of the world and false religions when we come into the house of God and we don't honor him for who he is. We don't honor him in our lives and our lifestyle. We don't honor him by our giving. We don't give God what's right. We give God what's left. Yeah, you hear? I'm just on another planet today. I'm just in another realm today because I recognize and I realize what's going on outside of these four walls, and all hell is breaking loose around us. And Jesus is calling out and saying, honor me and I will honor you. Lift me up and I will lift you up. Bless me and I will bless you. You want a Goshen moment? You want a place of safety for wherever you live right now? You can live right outside of the city limits of hell and God will protect you. But you must honor him. So how do I honor him? You honor him with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul. Make him the greatest passion of your life. Make him the goal of your life. Make him the goal of your eternity. Instead of being lukewarm like we are today, plastic banana Christians in the house of God. Did you tell me you loved me earlier? Well, then quit your frowning. Because I ain't mad at you. I'm not mad at anybody in the house of the Lord. But I'm telling you, I've got the antidote. I'm telling you, I've got the cure that heals us. This will help us. And this will bring us to a place of the blessings of God. We must honor Jesus in America again. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went around about the villages teaching. He had to get out of the church. This is why street ministry is going to explode in America. This is why we're going to face the protesters. This is why we're going to face civil unrest with the power of Jesus Christ. We don't need no sticks and we don't need no scarf. All we need is the name of the Lord and the blood of the Lamb and the power of the Holy Ghost, and we'll see men's hearts turn to wax as they melt before the presence of an almighty God. I'm telling you, the Church of Jesus Christ is about to go to the front lines. We're about to stand up, and the front lines are coming to the house of God. We're going to find out who's a man, who's a mouse in the house. Boy, that rhymed, don't it? I can't count, but I can rhyme. And he went around the village. He had to get out of the house. Could you see him with me? Come on, use your imagination for a minute. He's in there preaching, man. He's on fire. He's teaching. He's telling all the great works and testimonies. He's looking at all the bullfrogs sitting there staring at him. I see it every Sunday morning right before dinner. Puffing up. Boy, you better hurry up because I'm getting that glazed look. Getting a little dry around the gills. When I see that, I just push down on the pedal. Yeah, I'm getting there, Jesus. But can you picture that? And he's like, this is, he's astonished. He's amazed. He's like, oh, I cannot believe I cannot believe this. This is absolutely astonishing and amazing. I come back to my own home country. I come back to my own hometown. I come back to the place, and here they are. They do not believe me. They reject me. I can't believe this. And he leaves the house of God, and he goes to the streets. Honey, I'm going to tell you something right now. People are going to leave these mega churches by the masses. They're going to leave these den of thieves. They're going to leave these houses of prostitutions, and they're going to leave these pimps. They're going to get out to the places where they can find the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached, whether it's a storefront or whether it's someplace in the valley. It doesn't make any difference. They're going to go listen to the preachers that are thundering with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Get ready for the Elijahs to rise up. Get ready for the mighty men and women of God that will preach, thus saith the Lord. Because he had to get out of the house. You ever been in a church service you wish you can just get out of? You better not say here. Some of y'all want to get out of here because it's too hot for you. Some people don't like their blue suede shoes being trampled on. But I'm going to tell you something. The reality is this. We better find the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in this nation. We better find him in this hour. We better cling to the cross, the old rugged cross. Come on, somebody. We ought to cling to that old rugged cross. There's still power in that cross. That cross is still stained with the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God, thank God, thank God for the blood of the Lamb. I'm not even really in my introduction, but I'm going to do my best lest you run out on me. Verse 7. You know, people write me, they think I'm cruel to y'all. They really do. People just tell me all kinds. Boy, you know, yeah, you better let. I'm not. I want to type back and say, just shut up. Why don't you just shut up? Why don't you just come to Ignited and see that only one door's locked, not both? They have no idea how y'all act up. But they only see me, so I get in trouble. Are you still here? Watch this. Watch this. And he called unto him the 12. Now we're talking about the remnant. Let me prophesy just a few minutes about the remnant. And began to send them forth two by two. Don't ever go out in ministry alone. Don't ever go out in ministry alone. There is no lone rangers in the house of God. You always have somebody with you if you can. And he gave them power over unclean spirits. Notice this. He didn't give those leaders of the synagogue power. He didn't give that leadership within the church power. He called the 12 that followed him. He called those that were remnant. He called those that loved him and were disciples and disciplined followers of himself. And he gave them what? Power. So number one, he said, go out with power. He gave them power. And he commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse. Now we know on another mission, Jesus told them to take all that. But on this particular mission, he wanted them to operate by faith. The second key to understand that the remnant church of Jesus Christ will operate by faith. I don't have any trinkets to sell you. I don't have any magic oil or magic water that I got from a pond down the road. Is anybody here? And it happens all the time on Christian television, and people still give money to them people. They do. By multiplied millions of dollars, and they're going to promise you some water that they saw a fairy stand on top of and bless it. Or something stupid as that. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. There's more gadgets. There's more stuff out there that we're trying to sell as a false church. In fact, the understanding is this, that Christian bookstores are closing all across America. It's in peril right now. Let me go. Y'all staring at me. Got that toad frog look. And he commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey. Going to live by faith. Number 9. Verse 9. But be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. In other words, the third thing is, Your journey is not going to last until winter. In other words, your assignment is going to be a quick assignment. What I need the remnant to do, what I want the remnant to do, is to preach this word and find a place of faith and make that your headquarters and preach it, preach it, preach it. Lay hands on the sick. But you're not going to necessarily be there for a long time. Verse 10. And he said unto them, what place soever you enter into a house, there abide till you depart from that place. In other words, find that house of faith. This is a house of faith. This is a house of faith here in Northeast Georgia. And we ain't going anywhere. This is the headquarters for the last day move of God. And God is bringing harvesters to this house to preach this truth to the nations of the world. And we may look peculiar and we may not look like your GQ preachers on television, but God has a plan to send this gospel to the world. And he's using you. In verse 11, and whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Because verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. I need to take a minute here and I need to camp out. Let me get my notes together here for just a second. Because you need to see this very clearly. Let me read it to you one more time. Are you in verse 11? Watch this with me. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you. I'm giving you a warning from the Lord. That whosoever would not hear you or receive you. I'm talking about the remnant church today. I'm talking about the hour that we're living in. If the people of this nation do not want to hear you or nor receive you, what is that? That means they're not receiving me as the Lord Christ. They're not receiving and hearing me as the Lord Savior. Talking about Jesus here. When you depart thence, shake off the dust from under your feet. I have a warning to tell you today from the Holy Ghost that we are this close from shaking our dust off our feet for this nation. I'm warning the church. I'm warning the nation. We are very close within the prophetic community from wiping off the dust off of our feet for this nation, because the nation will not turn. The nation will not repent. We cannot find preachers to preach righteousness and holiness in a way that will cause a mighty shift. And the Father said that he's going to cause us to wipe off that dust. That is a very powerful prophetic declaration, and one that I do not make easy. And I do not know the day, and I do not know how close that is. But I do know this, a trigger event is coming. There is coming a convergence of things. We're coming in an hour where we're going to have to make an eternal decision. Will this nation repent or will it burn? I think I know the answer, but I'm not God, and I will not get in the way of his sovereignty. And I will say, God, have mercy in the midst of judgment. I pray your people hear this message. When we get to that place and you start seeing the prophetic community wiping off their feet, you better call upon Almighty God to have mercy. I believe we're ever close. I believe that we're ever near that hour. As much as I do not desire to say that, because I am a very compassionate person, I'll go with you the extra mile. I'll believe and believe and believe, but I'm telling you, there comes a time when there is a payday. But see, America doesn't want to hear that. The church does not want to hear about the payday. Just ask some of your family members. Just ask some of the people that hear me. People tell me I send your CD off to preachers. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear about the doom and the gloom. They don't want to hear about all these things. But I'm telling you, there's coming a time when they're going to reject the remnant and this message for the last time. One last time. It's coming. You say, well, I mean, you know, I don't believe that at all. Hey, Paul did it in Acts chapter 13, verse 51. He was preaching. He was declaring the word of the Lord. And Israel didn't want to hear him. Israel said, I don't want to hear you. And so he wiped off the dust off of his shoes. In Acts chapter 18, he was preaching. And he got to the point that he shook off his clothes. And he said, let the blood be on them. There comes a time when God says, I will deal with them according to their sin. Now watch this. I'm not closing by any means. So if you're nervous, I can't help you. For testimony against them, for Sodom and Gomorrah, for it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Now watch the comparison. Sodom and Gomorrah had angels visit them. Sodom and Gomorrah had angels from the fourth dimension, had them come from the dimension of heaven and actually appeared and spoke to them and warned them of coming judgment. You know that. We read it together a few weeks ago. And they did not repent. Jesus is saying there's coming a day when I will send remnant. I send my disciples. I send people with truth. And they come with a message of grace. And you rejected them. I believe that's the hour that we're in, that the nation is rejecting the message of grace. They're rejecting the message of judgment. They're rejecting the message of repentance. And we're sitting here denying the things that are taking place in our nation. Did you know that the greatest and the largest wildfires are taking place in LA's history right as I speak? And prophetically, you can see the fire behind the mountain where the name Hollywood stands. I find that very interesting. Let that whole thing burn. Is anybody here? Idaho just had an earthquake last night, a 5.3 in southeast Idaho. I had to send it to John and Cindy and said, what does this mean? Are there going to be no more potatoes? That's Idaho. And I'm like, what in the world? I asked her this morning. I said, is that normal, would you tell me? That ain't normal. Telling me about fires that are taking place all up in the mountain areas. And no, I have never seen anybody report that yet. And we're watching all of these things take place in a convergence and all this dynamo effect. And everybody's just ignoring it. It's football season and college season and all these other things are taking place. The U.S. Tennis Open and all this craziness. And our minds are distracted from the reality of the hour. Over 8,000 acres have been burned up and over 700 homes evacuated in L.A. But everything's fine. Everything's wonderful. And we're doing okay. Right now in America, we're coming to the end of Burning Man. If you don't know what Burning Man is, you need to Google it and find out how nasty and disgusting and perverted it is. It's just like Sodom and Gomorrah taking place in a desert. Men and women acting crazy and debaucheries. It's almost like a scene of Moloch. But everything's just fine. Celebrities and CEOs and people of high position are in this place. Because we're just at the point we want to unzip our flesh. Well, God is going to give you all the opportunity to unzip your flesh in the coming days, should you choose it. Earthquakes taking place, craziness taking place, a super volcano happening in Yosemite, and all this stuff in Yellowstone. We're watching this take place, but yet we can't find our preachers to cry out like we did this morning and say, God, have mercy. I told you we'd wake up one day and the whole world would change as we woke up this morning and found out that Kim Jong-un has already tested a hydrogen bomb and can put it on a missile. And now our president has said the time for talking has ended and they're now planning military strategy. I don't even know if it started while we're here today. But you're going to have people in churches all across them. Amazing, great. Amazing grace. All across the churches just playing around. Just, hey, did you great? Instead of crying out and saying, God, help us. Do you not realize that our teenagers and our children, our older teenagers, they can be called up into military service? I'm not going to get into the political realm, but I'm telling you there's another way around this. But they're going to go to war. And we think it's not going to touch us. Do you realize that 70% of our youth today are unfit for military? 70%. Number one is obesity. Number two is drug addiction. Number three is criminality. And we're going to go to war with disciplined militaries that will die for a man? I'm an alarmist today because there's an alarm going off all around the world and we got people that are too numb between the ears to hear it. Do you not hear what I'm saying to you? That our nation is willing to go to war, and not just with North Korea, but it ended up being China and Russia and Iran and other different places. Do we not understand the severity of the hour? This is not a video game. This is not the Call of Duty. This is reality. 70% of our youth is not ready for military. We have over $150 billion problem in America due to weight. It's costing the military billions of dollars to deal with our overweight soldiers. We're in a mess. We have aircraft that can't fly right now. We got boats that can't go around in a big old bathtub. We got planes that are grounded because they can't fly right. You see, I just want to be the voice of reason for you today. Testing. 1, 2, 3. Are we getting this message clearly, America? Let me close. I think I've reached your level of tolerance. Verse 12. And they went out and they preached. No, I misread that. Sorry. Let me get the Joel Osteen Bible. And they went out and talked. No, I'm sorry. Let me fix that. Denominational Bible. And they went out and they whispered. No. They went out and they made you feel good. I'm going to get this right. And they went out and preached. They preached. Come on, they preach. I love teaching you guys, but I'm telling you, preaching is a way to get people to the cross. Preaching is a way that the power of the Holy Ghost comes in conviction. Preaching Christ. Look what it says here. Let's finish it. And they preach that men ought to go to church. They preached that men ought to be good and give money. They preached and said they ought to be part of organizations. They preached that men should repent. The message of the hour is repentance. And here we are on the precipice of war. And we're going to act like nothing's wrong. They cast out a few devils. Boy, I got to get this Bible checked. And they cast out many devils. That means they were doing something. They were doing something. They were finding devils. They were going to the front line. They were finding out where the devils were, and they started casting them out. They went to the local jailhouse. They went to the nursing home. They went to the place where they were destitute and they were broke, and they preached and they cast devils out. All we do is talk and give business cards out. All we do is talk and hook up and all the other stuff we do in the house of God. And
And they cast out many devils and anointed them with oil that were sick, and they healed them. I'm closing. I'm getting out of your way. But I'm going to tell you something for this house and everybody listening to me. I love you with all my heart. I'll never quit preaching this word. I'll never quit telling it like it is. I'll never quit preaching truth. But I'm telling you, we are in danger. Danger close. Danger, danger, danger. I don't know how long before they strike out at North Korea. Do you not know what China said? China said if North Korea strikes, that we will deal with North Korea. But if you strike first, we will deal with you. There were many years ago, I'd say, bring it on, yellow man. Bring it on, whatever man. Bring it on. But I'm telling you, we're living in an hour of our sin and our unrighteousness. We're living in a day that I believe that God will not go out with our armies. Mr. President, I pray that you would make the right, clear decision from the Holy Spirit and not from those people that you have around you. We're in danger. We are already trying to, we're still trying to rescue people and pulling bodies out in Texas. And we're under the threat of another hurricane that could be disastrous. I pray he takes the right advice. In verse 11, I go back, says that they would not receive him and they wouldn't honor him. We're being tested right now in America. We're being shaken to our core. This is not our best life now, according to some preachers. But I will tell you, this is the greatest harvest that we're ever going to see. This is the greatest revival that's going to take place. But it's going to come through the ashes of wreck and ruin and judgment. Father, I've delivered your message today to your people. I pray that you just accelerate this word. Send it as far as you want it to go. Don't even let them see me. Let them see Christ. And I pray that men and women around this nation and around the world would repent and find you in an hour. Would we gather our families together in the month of September and pray a hedge of protection and a wall around us and build an ark? May we be sensitive in our hearts and our lives. May we reach out to our families and to our neighbors. May we be sensitive to what you're saying in this hour. Because I believe we're in grave, grave, grave danger. But Father, you're our help and you are our hope, and I thank you for it in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Listen, guys, I love you. I'll see you Wednesday, and continue your preps. If you've got a pantry, I encourage you to go ahead and get your stuff, you know, rotated, check your fuel levels. Get all these things together. You need extra fuel, go buy it. The prices will definitely go up. There's some food in the back here if you need it. I love you.